Om Kataksha Kirana Chanta Namo Bhagavate Namaha Anantananda Krishnaya Jagan Mangalamurtaye Ahamasmi Sadabhami Kadachinahamakriyaha Brahmaiva Hamatasvittam Satchidananda Lakshanam Mayevo Deti Chidvyoni Jagat Gandharva Kattanam Atohan Nakatam Brahma Sarvajnam Sarvakaranam Nasvata Pratyabhijnanat Niramshatvan Nachanyataha Nachashriya Vinashanme Vinashasya Anashriya Sakshi Sarva Nishoshapusha Vikleda Chedas Chinnabasomama Satyairapyanilagnyambaha Shasvai Kimutakalpitaihi Aparubasya Vishwasya Bhanam Basan Nidirvina Kadachinavakalpeta Bhachahante Nasarvagaha Nahibanad Pratesatvam Narate Bhanam Chitochitaha Chitsam Bedho Pinadyasat Pratetenahamadvayaha Nadeho Nendriyam Chaham Naprano Namano Nadihi Mamata Paridatvat Akridatvat Idandiyaha Sakshi Sarvan Vitapreyan Ahannaham Kadachana Parinama Paricheda Paritapai Rupaplavad Sukte Hamina Prishante Dukadosha Pravrittayaha Atastasyaiva Samsaraha Name Samsart Prasakshinaha Sukta Suktinna Janati Na Sukte Swapna Jagarau Jagrat Swapna Sushutinam Sakshatoham Matadrishaha Vijnana Viratis Suktaha Suktihi Vijnana Viratis Suktihi. Are we on 12?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, just repeat after me. Vijnana Viratihi
Vijnana Viratihi
Suktis Tadjanma Swapna Jagarau
Swapna Jagarau
Tad Sakshinaha
Tad Sakshinaha
Katam Me Suhu Katam Me Suhu
Katam Me Suhu
Nitya Jnanasya
Nitya Jnanasya
Te Trayaha
Te Trayaha.
Then it says, breaking the sandhi, Vijnana Viratihi, right? Vijnana Viratihi, 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 Vijnana Viratihi. Okay. Vijnana, nothing, Vijnana Viratihi, Suktihi, Suktihi, Tat Janma, Swapna. Jagarau Tat Sakshinaha Katam Me Suhu Nitya Jnanasya Te Trayaha. Vijnana Viratis Suktihi Viratis Suktihi Vijnana Viratis Suktihi Tajjanma Swapna Jagarau Tajjanma Swapna Jagarau Tatsakshina Katam Mesihu Tatsakshina Katam Mesihu Nitya Jnanasya Te Trayaha
Nitya
Jnanasya Te Trayaha
Nitya Jnanasya Te Trayaha
just a second. I'm going to see how. For seasons. Yeah, okay. I want to talk about a little nice construction here. Vijnana viratihi, nominative singular, compound. Suptihi, nominative singular. Suptihi is deep sleep. Deep sleep is vijnana viratihi, is devoid of, free of vijnana. Vijnana means here vishesha jnanam. Vishesha jnanam means where I have knowledge of objects, of things, subject-object duality, when the maya is awake, when I'm awake to the maya, to the multiplicity of the maya. So in deep sleep, there is no subject-object duality. It's free of objectification. It's free of vastus, of things. So viratihi means it's without particular knowledge, knowledge of things, right? Not differentiated knowledge. That's a good way of translating it. It's without free, it's free of suptihi, which is free of viratihi, which is free of, devoid of differentiated knowledge. This. So deep sleep. So you'd say, vijnana viratihi suptihi. Deep sleep is free of differentiated knowledge. Vijnana viratihi suptihi. So that's adjectival. So you can say, deep sleep is free, is vijnana viratihi. Free of differentiated knowledge. Tat janma, the birth of that, the rise of, the coming in, the rise of that, the birth of that differentiated knowledge. So tat goes back to the vijnana. The birth of that, swapna jagara. This is a dvandva. Swapna and jagara, okay, in the dual. So the birth of that is swapna, the dream state, and the waking state. So you could say, if we were to say it in English, in deep sleep state, there's no differentiated knowledge. Differentiated knowledge comes with the waking and the dream. But just to take a look at this one more time, these are all in nominatives. The swapna jagara is in the dvandva.
It's accusative or nominative?
Nominatives.
Okay.
Vijnana viratihi suptihi nominative.
But when you say the rise of that is waking and dream.
Yeah. This is called, it's adjectival and a predicate nominative.
Predicate nominative.
Yeah. So it's divided like into two sentences or a semicolon. Mm-hmm. You would say like the deep sleep state is without vijnanam. Without, is free, the deep sleep state, supti, is free of vijnanam. Differentiated knowledge. Tat janma, the rise of that, the birth of that, right, is swapna and jagra. Okay? So, when it's just like saying, when differentiated knowledge comes into being, that's what we call swapna and jagra. When it's not, when it's without differentiated knowledge, then that's what we call sushupti, or supti here. Okay, means the same. Okay for everybody? Mm-hmm. Then we say, tat sakshinaha. Sakshinaha is here in the genitive, and it means of, we'll see it in the whole sentence, but it just means of the witness of those. The tat is going to stand for the supti swapna jagrao. So, for the one who is the witness of them. Katam means how. Me means me in the genitive singular. So, me, genitive singular, who is the witness of them? Tetsachinaha is adjectival, is in to me, for me, of me, who is the witness of them. Okay? Katam how. Suhu, is in the potential third person plural. Nitya jnanasya, another genitive. So you've got tat sakshinaha, nitya me, and nitya jnanasya. So me, who is the witness of them, and who is nitya jnanam, means changeless, nitya, free from time, nitya jnanam, consciousness. whose nature is consciousness, jnanam, which is free of time, free from time, nitya, timeless consciousness. Te, third person, I mean, nominative plural, trayaha. Trayaha? Three?
Oh, yeah.
What?
That's from Friday's class.
Just learning
numerals. Te, trayaha. These three, katam. How can these three belong? When you've got a nominative with a genitive, mm-hmm. it means belong to, or another way of translation, how can I have these three? How can these three, te is these, trayaha, how can these three belong to me, who am the witness of them, tat sakshinaha? How can they belong to me? Who is the witness of them, and whose nature is consciousness? Whose nature is always consciousness, never something that can be objectified, is changeless consciousness. Nitya. Nitya means changeless, free
is
of time.
Trayaha,
plural. Three is always in the plural.
Right?
So, te trayaha. So it says, katam te trayaha. How can these three, katam, how can these three be for of me, means belong to me. How can these three belong to me, who is tat sakshinah, the witness of them, and also nitya jnanasya, whose nature is consciousness, is always consciousness. Means can never be anything else. Consciousness means nitya means... If we use nitya within duality, you know, it can be eternal. Nitya, when used for the nature of consciousness, it means free from time. Right? Anitya means time-bound. Nitya means free of time. For me, whose consciousness is free of time, timeless, means cannot be objectified. So, how can these three states of experience belong to me, who is the witness of them, and whose nature is timeless consciousness, changeless consciousness?
What was
Supi is deep sleep.
Suyuhu.
That is in the potential third person plural to go along with the... And it means is. How are they? How can they be? Katam, how? Te, trayaha. So how can these three, katam, suhu, how can these three, te, trayaha, belong to me? The belong to is because of the genitive.
And the belong to me is like a question?
Yeah. It's a rhetorical question. How can it be?
Yeah, okay.
You know, because I'm the witness of them and my nature is always consciousness. I'm, you know, timeless consciousness. And I'm the sakshi when you do the drik drisha viveka. Mm. I'm the sakshi of these. Right? I have that anuvritti mm-hmm. that we just went through. You know, for the waking dream and deep sleep. Mm-hmm. My nature is consciousness. Then how can I, who am changeless consciousness... You know, how can these things belong to me as though there's some sort of a relationship?
Mm.
There is no relationship because I don't have any... I'm asanga. You know, this word asanga, when we use it to define the nature of the atma, asanga means there's no attachment. You know, these things come and go with me, in me, but I'm not hanging on to any of them.
Mm.
None of them belong to me. There's no type of a relationship there, you know. There's no real relationship between satyam and mitya. Because, you know, the relationship that between, you know, satyam and mitya, because mitya means that which can't be categorized as real or unreal. There's no duality, you know, between satyam and mitya. Something that doesn't have any inherent existence can't be in relationship to something else. It's like, what relationship, Swamiji will use this example sometimes, what relationship do I have with my shadow? Yeah. The shadow is there, and I'm the one who's producing the shadow, you know, because of the light reflection. And so the shadow is of me. Now do I say, this shadow belongs to me? Because I'm totally asanga. I have no attachment, no real relationship with the shadow at all. But yet it's my shadow, right? But what kind of a relationship is that? There's no real relationship. So what is my relationship with Maya? When Maya, the category of Maya, the level of reality of Maya is what we call mitya. what is mitya? Mitya is what we define as sad asadbhyam, nirvachaniya. Nirvachaniya, it means it can't be described, explained, or categorized as real or as non-existent. It can't be described as real because it comes into being and goes out of being, and upon analysis, you can't find it. The only thing that deserves the term of satyam is Brahman, because the definition of satyam, and that which is real, is that which is. Means it can't come into being, because if it comes into being, then it has a prior condition of not being. Yeah. If something comes into being, its prior condition is not being. So another way of saying that, if something comes into being, its prior condition is non-existence. But that's impossible for something to come from non-existence. Right? And so, because non-existence means there's nothing there. So that's an impossibility. So something that comes into being and goes out of being is dependent for its being not on non-existence, because non-existence isn't there. If it comes into being, it must be dependent on something which is. And that which is real. Right? That's because that which is that which is really there. The other thing is there only because of the thing which is really there. Like the pot is only there because of the clay which is really there. If you analyze the pot, it isn't anything but clay. If you analyze this creation, it isn't anything but consciousness. And so what is really here is consciousness. What comes into being is all of the names and forms, is the maya. But those names and forms are upon analysis only consciousness, and consciousness doesn't come into being. It's non-objectifiable, it's not subject to change, it doesn't have a beginning or an end, it simply is. And so what simply is what we call satyam. What comes into being and goes out of being is what we call mitya, because it has to depend upon something for its being. Because otherwise, you have to be able to say that something can come into being out of non-existence. And that's not possible, because non-existence is literally nothing is there for it to come out of.
Okay.
You're welcome.
No, that was a wonderful unfoldment.
Can I ask a question about when the universe came out of just a bindu, out of nothing? It really wasn't nothing, it was the unmanifest consciousness, right?
What? No, let me put it like this. Consciousness, there's two levels of avyakta, which means unmanifest. Mm-hmm. One is maya. Maya, when it's an unmanifest condition, then the maya still is, but it's like deep sleep. There's none of this vijnana. There's no differentiated knowledge when maya is in unmanifest condition. That's called avyakta. But the atma, as consciousness, is also avyakta in that it's not manifest in terms of an object, right? But consciousness always is consciousness. Consciousness doesn't come in and out of unmanifest condition. It is always consciousness as it is. Whereas maya comes in and out of its own avyakta. Maya goes into avyakta, unmanifest condition, which is from the jiva standpoint, like deep sleep, or from Ishwara's standpoint, what we call pralaya or laya. The whole creation goes into its causal condition, okay? Brahman is not a causal condition. Brahman doesn't have a causal condition. The condition of Brahman is the condition of Brahman, which is changeless consciousness. So changeless consciousness is never becoming manifest or unmanifest. It's always exactly the same. Mm-hmm. But it's never manifest as an object. It's the self or the being of all objects. Whereas the creation comes in and out of unmanifest condition. See what I mean? So it's not that the consciousness becomes manifest. Maya becomes manifest and goes into unmanifest condition. Consciousness is always exactly the same, you know? And now this is one of the reasons why, like when we look at waking, dream, and deep sleep state, consciousness, which is not a knower, it is just consciousness, right, is the anuvritti of all three states of experience. And so in the waking state, the mind can comment and have a subject-object relationship with whatever is within the manifest creation in the waking state. So I know this, I know that, I know this. I can if I'm a jnani, I can say, oh, yes, I'm a jnani. I can differentiate my being from the manifest Maya.
Yeah.
Dream state, same thing. The sense that there's a jiva, you know, with sense organs who can know, have subject-object relationships, so knowership then belongs to the jiva who has a mind and sense organs. Or knowership, in a sense, belongs to the whole Maya Upadi, which reflects consciousness as Ishwara, so the whole creation is known. Or the jiva, through the use of the mind and sense organs, has no or known relationship. Or even the vrittis that take place in the mind, like imagination or emotions, those type of things, or meditative states, those are also known because they take place in the mind. Okay, so the know or known belongs to the jiva upadi. In the deep sleep state, when the jiva upadi, along with the rest of the creation from the standpoint of the jiva, well, let's just say the jiva upadi is in deep sleep state, means it's in unmanifest condition. It's there, but the mind is in avyakta. It's in its own causal condition. In that condition, the subject-object ability, the knowership ability, knower enjoyership ability of the jiva is in its unmanifest condition. Awareness is illumined, whatever the condition is. If the condition of the mind is an awake mind with sense organs, then that's what's being illumined by consciousness. If the sense organs are in unmanifest condition and the sense organs are not in operation and it's only the mind, that's the dream state. It can also be a waking dream. Then consciousness is illumining that state. If the whole mind is in avyakta, then consciousness is illumining that state. When the mind is in avyakta, in this unmanifest condition, then there's no one to say, the ahamkara is an unmanifest, there's no one there to say, I am deep sleeping. You know, oh, this is wonderful. I don't know anything, I'm deep sleeping. But when the mind wakes up, you know, in the waking state, the mind has a memory of that condition and somebody to comment on it. That's why in the previous verses, you know, it says, prak swapsam asmi, I slept, I was asleep. And then it'll say, I had a deep sleep. At that time, I didn't know anything, you know. I slept so soundly. That's all memory, because you're referring back to a condition of the mind which is illumined by consciousness. So the mind is still there. It's not like you lose your mind. The mind is still there. And so what you have is a memory of that condition. In the deep sleep, there's no one to comment on that. But in understanding this, then you understand the knowership, subject-object differentiation, doesn't belong to the Atma. Atma's not a knower. Atma, the self, plus the mind is a knower. The self plus the sense organs is a seer, hearer, taster. But that's not your condition. As somebody who knows, you are just the consciousness, the wholeness, the knowledge, the being, you know, who is the self of all of these experiences. And so that's why, you know, in contemplation, if you do japa, I know I've said this before a lot of times, but still, if I say it again, it's okay. Because you see it from a different standpoint. One of the most wonderful things about doing japa is that differentiation between the vritti, you know, like the Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah, becomes very apparent, comes into relief, where you see the stability and just the abiding of your own being. It's just the conscious being that is me, that is yourself, that isn't performing any function at all, and the vritti that, as it comes into being, is illumined. As it comes up, it is illumined. It is known, right? When the vritti is gone, the same knownness, the me, is just remains, but it's not performing any function of knowing. It's just that the vritti, by its nature, the sattva of the vritti is known, right? But you're not performing a function The vritti is really nothing but consciousness, just like the pot is nothing but clay. Consciousness is self-evident. So when the vritti arises, the maya arises in self-evident consciousness, its self is that self-evident consciousness. And so it is known. Anything is nothing really but self-evident consciousness. So everything that arises is known. From the standpoint of the jiva, what arises is whatever is coming into you as a vritti. But if it doesn't come as a vritti, for you it's not known. Whereas for Ishvara, the sattva is pervasive to the whole maya upadi, it is known, right? Because of the sattva. But you could say another, that is to differentiate the infinite mind from the, why I said that is to differentiate the infinite mind, which is Ishvara, from the individual mind, which is within Ishvara. So from your standpoint, the only thing that comes into consciousness is the vritti. From Ishvara's standpoint, the whole creation comes into consciousness. It is known, right? But the knownness is the self-evident consciousness, which is itself. See, there is no maya of its own accord. The only thing that maya is self-evident consciousness. Like the only thing the pot is self-evident as clay. See what I mean? And so this whole thing of this is known and there's a subject-object relationship and all of that, that's only because you have an identification of the consciousness with this body. Mm. But actually the body also is known, the mind also is known, the sense organs also are known, the ahankara also is known, these perceptions also are known. And the knownness is the self-evident consciousness, right? which has no distance from this, just like the pot has no distance from the clay. That's the satyam mitya. This doesn't have any being except for me. I am its being. You see?
So this idea of when Edward manifests and Edward's history comes up and his personality, that's just a vritti. There's nothing to do.
It's all just maya.
It's all just maya. It really...
You're just
I'm
maya.
Not attached to that thing at all.
No, you're not, but what you're saying is just maya. Remember that maya is nothing but you, in truth.
Because of existence.
Yeah, it's nothing but you, just like the pot is nothing but clay is free of the pot. This maya is nothing but me. I am itself, and yet I am totally free of it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I can say that.
Let's say a prayer. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.